Now, let's go over to the news desk for national and international news with Lena Valverde. But first, we'll take a look at today's headlines.
Raúl Castro welcomes President Miguel Díaz-Canel upon his return from Europe.
Maduro celebrates Venezuela-Cuba cooperation anniversary.
Fidel Castro's legacy at the center of final day of symposium on the Cuban Revolution.
China-Cuba satisfied by progress of bilateral relations. And now for the news in detail.
The first secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba, Raúl Castro, received President Miguel Díaz-Canel and the delegation that accompanied him on the tour of several European countries. The Cuban president and his delegation arrived at Havana's José Martí International Airport in the early hours on Thursday. On October 20th, the Cuban leader began his tour that took him to Ireland and Belarus, Azerbaijan, to participate in the 18th summit of the Non-Aligned Movement, and also on a working visit to the Russian Federation. Before leaving Russia, President Díaz-Canel was received in Moscow by the Patriarch of all Russia, His Holiness Kirill, with whom he highlighted the links between both parties and the human values they share. His Holiness Kirill sent an affectionate greeting to Raúl and recalled the support of the historical leader of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro, for the construction of an Orthodox temple here in Havana.
The president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, celebrated on Wednesday the 19th anniversary of the first integration project signed between the Bolivarian nation and Cuba. The Venezuelan president assured on Twitter that this significant step of brotherhood marked the union in Latin America. The project, the Bolivar-Martí Agreement, signed by commanders Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro, represents the ultimate demonstration that it is possible to build a better world, Maduro wrote on the social media platform. On October the 30th, 2000, the Comprehensive Collaboration Agreement between Cuba and Venezuela was signed in Caracas, paving the way for various agreements and exchange projects in the health, education, sports, culture, and production sectors. As part of this alliance, more than 1,400 exchange projects have been signed ever since, with emphasis on health services, pharmaceutical supplies, counseling, and human resource training in educational, sports, cultural, and productive programs.
Fidel Castro's conception of unity, justice, and internationalism is the focus of debates on Thursday, the last day of the third international symposium, The Cuban Revolution, Genesis, and Historical Development. Cuban researchers agreed that fabricated pretexts, slanders, pressures, aggressive rhetoric, and political blackmail are some of the elements that maintain a permanent confrontation in U.S. relations with Cuba, reports Prensa Latina News Agency. Rafael González, a researcher at the Center for Hemispheric and U.S. Studies of the University of Havana, presented a thesis on the policy of U.S. President Donald Trump. He said, "Trump is not moved by convictions towards any issue or any country, not even Cuba. He's only activated by interests and circumstances, and depending on this, he may play certain roles. He can be a great villain or an excellent negotiator." In describing the U.S. president's vision towards Cuba, he said there is a millionaire Trump period that extends from 2008 to 2015, another as the presidential candidate, and another already being president. Initially, he said he would continue President Barack Obama's policies, but on September 16, 2016, he announced that he would reverse guidelines, the academic recalled. The Cuban intellectual further stated, "From January to August 2015, there was a partial retreat. Trump had to honor the commitments he made to the Cuban-American right wing. At the same time, he resumed the anti-Cuban rhetoric and suspended the mechanisms of bilateral dialogue. Then came the moment of progressive deterioration, appearing the so-called sonic incidents, taken as a pretext for the dismantling of its diplomatic headquarters here in Havana. Now Trump aspires to be re-elected and wants to captivate the electorate of Florida, hence the fight against socialism that includes also Venezuela.
Cuba and China on Wednesday expressed satisfaction for the uninterrupted, fluid and solid progress of their bilateral ties, which will mark 60 years in 2020. Foreign Minister Wang Yi acknowledged the work done by the outgoing Cuban ambassador to China, Miguel Angel Ramirez, in the promotion of strategic partnerships and collaboration, as well as the friendship between the two states. In turn, Ramirez emphasized that Havana and Beijing ties are special and have a historical nature. The Chinese minister spoke on Wednesday with the ambassador as part of the farewell ceremony at the end of his mission as Cuban ambassador to the Asian nation. Zheng Zhengguang, vice foreign minister in charge of Latin American and Caribbean affairs, also reviewed the status of bilateral ties with Ramirez. And you're listening to Radio Havana Cuba on shortwave, on FM in and around Havana, and online wherever there is an internet connection. By all means, drop us a line at radiohc@enet.cu and let us know how we're doing with our news and views and features. Back now to the news desk with Lena Valverde.
The German cruise ship Hamburg arrived in Havana on Wednesday with some 600 tourists on board, marking the beginning of the European cruise season to Cuba. Officials from Cubatour Travel Agency told the press that the cruisers will visit Cayo Largo del Sur, María la Gorda in Pinar del Río, and the cities of Cienfuegos, Trinidad, and Santiago de Cuba. Another cruise ship from Great Britain is expected soon with almost 2,000 passengers. The Swiss MSC Cruises Company also ratified its will to preserve and foster relations with Cuba, this according to recent statements by its executive president, Pierre Francesco Bago. That remark reflects the position of some companies in the sector not to give up Cuba as a destination preferred by its customers. Last June, the Trump administration banned trips by private and corporate ships and airplanes, cruise ships, sailboats, fishing boats, and other similar aircraft and vessels from U.S. territory to Cuba, preventing the visits to the island of 500,000 people.
Cuban authorities officially received the new modern floating dock acquired for $34 million with a loan from the Chinese government. The act of delivery was signed by Johannes Melian, general manager of the Casablanca shipyards, and Juan Yipin, general manager of the engineering department of China National Machinery Import and Export Corporation, the same company that brings to Cuba the wagons for the railway service. When fine-tuning is complete and operations begin, the floating dock will help increase the country's ship repair capacity, as well as increase the autonomy of the Cuban shipping industry. Located in the Casablanca shipyard in Havana, the new facility has the capacity to repair Panamax-type vessels with up to 65,000 tons of displacement.
A retired U.S. general has warned that President Donald Trump's foreign policy in Syria is drifting dangerously close to piracy. This following confirmation that American soldiers will be deployed to secure valuable oil fields in the east of the country and protect them from the Islamic State group. Retired General Barry McCaffrey condemned the plans following Trump's suggestion he wants to bring in ExxonMobil or another U.S. oil company to go in there and do it properly. Referencing Trump's comments, McCaffrey asked on Twitter, "What are we becoming? Pirates?" He also stressed that all oil in the area belongs to Syria and noted that even if the remnants of ISIS are defeated, the U.S. lacks congressional authority to stay in the country. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper confirmed last week that U.S. troops supported by armored vehicles would be deployed to oil fields to stop them falling into the hands of ISIS militants.
A U.S. journalist has been arrested on accusations stemming from the illegal siege of the Venezuelan embassy in April and May. Max Blumenthal, editor of the news site The Gray Zone, was arrested on charges of assault by a member of the Venezuelan opposition, and his arrest warrant was 5 months old. A team of police officers from the U.S. Capitol appeared at Blumenthal's home, demanding entry and threatening to break down the door. In addition, several officers had taken a position surrounding his home as if they were prepared for a SWAT-style raid. Blumenthal was transported to D.C. Central Prison, where he was chained by his hands and ankles for more than 5 hours and held for 2 days in various cells. His request for a telephone call was denied, and the authorities and prison officials deprived him of contact with the outside world. The reporter denied his guilt and expressed that it was a 100% false, fabricated, bogus, untrue and malicious lie. Max Blumenthal said, "This is clearly part of a campaign of political persecution designed to silence me and the Gray Zone for our factual journalism, exposing the deceptions, corruption and violence of the far-right Venezuelan opposition."
Ambassadors, government officials and experts from China and the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC, analyze current and future opportunities to consolidate more mutually beneficial cooperation in different fields during a meeting held in Beijing. The representatives gathered in the fifth edition of a two-day academic forum that seeks to strengthen exchanges between the regions and promote high-quality development, connectivity and partnerships in the context of China's One Belt, One Road initiative. During the inauguration, Chinese Deputy Minister for Foreign Affairs, Shen Zhengguan, reviewed the progress made in economic, commercial, cultural and town-to-town contacts, highlighting greater international coordination and the implementation of numerous multi-sectoral projects. Shen mentioned, as an example of the close ties between China and the region's nations, the authorization of 6 flight routes, the opening of 44 institutes and 12 Confucius classrooms to teach Mandarin, and the incorporation of 19 nations to Xi Jinping's One Belt, One Road project.
And once again, we'll take a look at today's headlines.
Raúl Castro welcomes President Miguel Díaz-Canel upon his return from Europe.
Maduro celebrates Venezuela-Cuba cooperation anniversary.
Fidel Castro's legacy at the center of final day of symposium on the Cuban Revolution.
China-Cuba satisfied by progress of bilateral relations.